p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for coming out this evening. My name is John Hall. I am the Department Director for the Department of Housing and Community Development. I'm excited to be before you this evening. Loudoun County, as you may know, just started a Department of Housing and Community Development last April. So we're less than a year old, and I am 4 months into my position. So I'm very excited to present our first fair housing plan that has been completed in coordination with Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. You will hear from staff momentarily, and they'll go into greater detail. But a little bit of background before we dive completely into tonight's public hearing. First and foremost, bathroom locations. So the bathrooms are right on the other side of this wall. I'm just asking if you have to leave out, if you can use that particular door, as we will be using the two monitors for the presentations, if possible. If not, this door has to stay open because it's a public open door meeting. But either way, that's what I think is the main thing to know. And then secondly, if you can have your cell phones on silent mode or vibrate, something of that nature, so we can get through our agenda with the least amount of interruptions as possible. And then I have some scripted things I need to say, so let me put on my readers here. I want to first start by introducing a very dynamic team that's been assembled here with the County of Loudoun. The staff here are phenomenal. They're highly dedicated public servants and highly effective in their production. And so I could not, get this event done or the report done or any of the other work that we do without them. So I want to start with Brian Regan, who is assistant director. Next to him is Melinda Niebel. She is actually our newest member, and she is our fair housing coordinator. So she just started literally last week, and she will be picking up steam and picking up the ball more as we get this particular fair housing plan in motion, as well as some other things that we'll be doing in the agency. But I just wanted to put a special emphasis with Melissa Niebel as she just joined us. So we will hear more from her as the days go on. Then we also have here at this table, we have Christine Hillock, as well as Rebecca King. And then online, if Jeanette Powell can hear us, I don't think she can, she's looking down, but she's the lady you see on the screen. So,
yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, and I guess I didn't tell their titles, that's why I need the glasses on. So Jeanette just started with us as well. A lot of us are new, if you can't tell that rhythm there. She just started with us in December. She is our entitlement grant manager. So we receive community development block grant funds, and we will be getting home investment partnership funds for the very first time. So we're very excited. So we've changed her title from CDBG program manager to basically entitlement grant manager. And then Rebecca King is our housing finance and development administrator. Rebecca has done yeoman's work in helping to coordinate the delivery of this fair housing plan, because most of us were not here when the work had begun. So I want to give a special thank you to Rebecca for all the work that she's doing with Hillary, but Council of Governments, and you'll hear from Hillary in a second. And then Christine Hillock is our community development specialist. She is our outreach specialist and helps us to pull everything together and help it to make sense to the community. So thank you so much for all the work that you do. And Brian is my right hand. So thank you, Brian. And I see Andrea is in the audience. You may be here as an individual or an employee, but I want to recognize we do have an additional staffer here this evening, Andrea. If you call our office, oftentimes you will hear her voice. So thank you, Andrea, for being here. A little bit more on the format of tonight's public hearing. Following a brief presentation, we will accept comments. Please remember that this is not a discussion or a question and answer period. We are here to receive any feedback or comments that you have on the analysis of impediment, the Fair Housing Plan that has been published, or if anything that you hear during the presentation that you wanted to make a comment on. But it is not a discussion tonight. And then advanced sign-up sheets. If you've already signed up to speak, you will be called first when we get to the public comment section. Then any attendees who would like to speak, if you have not signed up, you will have the opportunity to sign up, and then we'll take you in the order that you sign up. Please keep comments that you make this evening specific to the Fair Housing Plan. You can reach out to us at housing@loudoun.gov. That's our e-address. If you would like to submit written comments to further your comments that you may make verbally, or if you think about something else, you know, after you get home that you want to make sure that we think about or that you wanted to comment on, please submit your comments to housing@loudoun.gov. And then please reach out to the State Fair Housing Office. So the Commonwealth of Virginia has a Fair Housing Office, and they receive complaints of allegations of violations. And we have several handouts here at the table that will give you that information, as well as if anyone needs housing resources, or if you work with clients or you know friends or family who may need housing resources, we have some resources up at the table here as well. So we will provide a summary of comments after tonight to the Council of Governments. I've referenced Hillary. She's online and will be speaking to us momentarily. So everything that you say tonight and the emails that you send with any written documentation will be bundled and forwarded to the Washington Council of Governments for incorporation with our final report that we're going to submit to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. So tonight, when you are called for your public comments, we are going to limit time to 3 minutes for everyone. Melinda will be keeping time. She will give you a 30-second, you know, hand clap or a finger snap. I don't know what her mode is going to be, but if you see Melinda doing something, that means 30 seconds. and so we will be recording this entire meeting. This is a public meeting. It will be recorded and uploaded to our website. So if you would like to go back and view it, or if you know others who could not be here this evening and would like to listen to see what happened, they can go to our website and then they will be able to view this public hearing in its entirety. So also, since we are recording this meeting, if you have public comments, we will call you up basically where I'm standing. We need you to stand in this particular area because we have a microphone and we have the laptop's microphone that needs to be able to pick up what you're saying, so it's on the audio. So if you can, that's why I'm kind of, you know, slanted this way. So if you can come stand here, if you don't mind, we'd appreciate that. And then we also have Spanish interpretation available. We have a couple of interpreters who are on standby for Spanish. I'm not sure if anyone else needs any other languages. We didn't get any requests. I always throw out, I speak French just in case. You never know, but. So I will, at this point, turn it over to Hillary Chapman. She is the Housing Program Manager with the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. She will be assisted with Diane. I can't pronounce her last name, so I won't try. But Hillary and Diane from Washington Council of Governments, please take it away.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hall. It is a pleasure to be here with all of you this evening. Again, my name is Hillary Chapman. I'm with the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, or COG, as you may have heard us refer to, or OWASH COG, depending on if you're from another part of the country. So, and I just want to share, this is a brief anecdote before we get started. I'm going to go through some of the regional goals here. I'm joined by Diane Glauber, who is the Director of Fair Housing and Community Development Project for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, and is really the one who has synthesized all of the tremendous amount of information that we gathered, both qualitative and quantitative, to put this draft plan together. And so the two of us are here to answer any, to go over the sort of a regional overview before we get into the local specifics. And I'm just going to share, it's a special treat for me to be here as someone who actually grew up in Western Loudoun County. Back when Loudoun Valley was the only high school in Western Loudoun, no longer the case. So next slide, please. So just a really quick overview for those of you who may not already be familiar what the Regional Fair Housing Plan is. It is a plan typically covering 5 years, designed to develop meaningful actions to overcome historic patterns of segregation, promote fair housing choice, and foster inclusive communities free from discrimination. So once this plan is fully approved by HUD, it will guide local investment decisions of federal funds to achieve the goals outlined in the plan. And the key elements of the plan are listed here. And important to note that in this process, we've been very focused on not only having a robust community engagement process, but also ensuring that our data and analysis will be tied in a direct way to the actions to remedy those findings. So next slide, please. And just a quick reminder why we are doing this in the first place. Why does fair housing matter? Why does housing equity matter? Some of the, just a few sampling of those reasons here is that fair housing choice connects you to great, you know, to good outcomes, high performing schools, integrated communities, transit, job centers, healthy and environmentally safe neighborhoods. Whereas the barriers can limit, prevent access to good quality schools, to job markets, limited transportation options, compounded inequities from segregated neighborhoods, and exposure to environmental hazards, which contribute to unhealthy neighborhoods. So this is why we want to make sure that we are providing opportunities for everyone to live in the places that suit them best. Next slide, please. So just a quick overview of who has been engaged. So 8 of the Council of Governments were a association of 24 member local governments. The governments that have been collaborating here include 5 Northern Virginia jurisdictions, including Loudoun County, also the District of Columbia, and in Maryland, the City of Gaithersburg and Montgomery County. We've also been working collaboratively with our public housing authority partners throughout Virginia, the district, and Montgomery as well. And the key team who's been helping us to bring this plan to life, we could not have done it without. The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights is our lead consultant. Ochoa Urban Collaborative has been the lead for the community engagement process. The Urban Institute was the lead on the data, the quantitative data collection and analysis. We also had technical assistance from enterprise community partners, and our HUD partners have actually, from the Office of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity, have been with us every step of the way, including through a number of changes at the federal level under the previous administration. So next slide, please. Another key group that's been guiding the local governments and the plan development is the Community Advisory Committee. So the groups that are shown here represent regionally working organizations who serve residents impacted by fair housing choice. The advisory committee's role has really been to provide input to the local governments as well as serve as a bridge to local communities throughout the process. Next slide, please. So, and as I alluded to in my previous remarks, this is the first time in 25 years the region has come together to collaborate on a regional fair housing plan. It technically began in 2017 when all of the participating jurisdictions executed an MOU and submitted it to HUD to allow us to collaborate across state lines, only to have the rule paused in the beginning of 2018 at the start of the Trump administration. So it has been quite a journey, but we are very fortunate to be working with Loudoun and our partners through the region to continue to make a decision to move forward brought the consultant team on and began in earnest at the beginning of 2021. As you know, we're in this public comment period right now, and after this is concluded, we'll go through a review process with six of the eight legislatures, and finalize the plan before submitting it to HUD. Next slide, please. So just wanted to give a brief overview of some of the data that has informed the goals and strategies here. And the Fair Housing Plan includes sections that are region-wide, as well as elements that are jurisdiction specific. So this slide includes some demographic data that are not likely new or surprising to any of you, but were foundational in the drafting of Loudoun County's section of the plan. But Loudoun County has a proportionally higher white and Asian population in the region as a whole. White residents make up 56% of the population. The Asian and Pacific Islander residents make up about 18.5% of the county's population. In contrast, Black residents make up only a little over 7% of the population, less than one-third the percentage at the regional level. And Loudoun County is slightly less heavily Hispanic than the broader region. In 1990, Hispanic and Asian Pacific Islander residents made up 2.5% and 2.4% of the population respectively, and now Hispanic residents make up 12% of the population, and Asian or Pacific Islander residents make up 16.4%. Next slide, please. So, also related to the demographic information shared previously, Spanish is the most prevalently spoken language for people with limited English proficiency, and Loudoun also too, reflecting that significant growth in that portion of its residents between 2015 and 2019, that total population has increased by over 50%. And among non-U.S. residents, India is the most common country of origin, followed by El Salvador. Next slide, please. So this is a select, just a few select findings from the community engagement process. This included some of the findings from a survey that was completed by over 800 respondents. No surprise to anyone probably here, one of the things that came up most significantly was that accessible and affordable housing is very difficult to find. This is also reflected in what the community engagement process yielded in terms of the top three barriers to housing choice: lack of affordability, government failure, and racial discrimination. 13% of respondents to our survey reported that they had experienced discrimination, and of those, of that 13%, 41% reported that they thought landlords or property owners were responsible. And some of the solutions that the focus groups suggested were more Spanish-speaking housing counselors, program information in multiple languages other than English, providing opportunities for seniors to age in place, and better compliance and monitoring of landlords with reasonable accommodations. Next slide, please. So another region-wide finding is that the Metropolitan Washington region has been increasingly experiencing segregation since 1990s. It is highest between Black and white, with moderate segregation between Hispanic and white and Pacific Islander and white residents. And we recently learned this is actually somewhat unfortunately unique to our region, in terms of other regions nationwide, that this is not typical for other regions. We've also noted significant disparities in access to opportunity by race and ethnicity, and that by access to opportunity, we mean access to health, good schools with proficiency, good high proficiency ratings, healthy neighborhoods, again, access to transit, opportunities for jobs and economic development opportunities. And access is almost always lower for Black and Hispanic residents than white residents, separate regardless of poverty status. Next slide, please. So that leads us to our seven regional goals and strategies, and I'm just gonna share a few quick points before handing it over to Rebecca to talk about Loudoun's goals and strategies. But I wanted to just highlight a few things. One is that there are only seven shared goals. And these are goals that each jurisdiction, Loudoun County included, will implement as their own. And these were designed, they came together through a very exhaustive data collection process from quantitative and qualitative. And each of these goals are implemented at the local level. They can be sensitive to local context. And some jurisdictions have goals that are specific only to their communities, but each jurisdiction, not included, has at least 7 goals. And the reason that these are somewhat limited is that we felt it was important to choose goals that were most likely to have a greater impact. So rather than having 22 goals that might have a moderate impact, we chose to limit to those that we thought the ones that would be most meaningful in improving fair housing choice. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Rebecca to share Loudoun's goals, strategies, and actions. Draft goals and strategies and actions, I should say.
Thank you, Hillary. So I'm going to run through the regional goals and the Loudoun specific pieces to start with goal number 1, which is to increase the supply of housing that's affordable to families with incomes at 60% of AMI or below. So this goal is clearly designed to address one of the most persistent and challenging barriers to fair housing choice, which is the lack of housing that's affordable to low and moderate income households. So some of the strategies identified in the plan that could be used by jurisdictions to address this barrier include trying to do deeper income targeting, so going below 60% of AMI, providing loans to assist home buyers, and looking at local government financing and regulatory tools. And Loudoun has some specific focus on this goal. We'd like to expand our current programs to increase affordable housing and implement new efforts from the Unmet Housing Needs Strategic Plan that the board adopted in September of 2021. And that includes things like utilizing public land, exploring land banks and community land trust options, and again, just continuing to improve and strengthen our existing programs like our affordable multifamily rental housing loan program. The second regional goal is focused on addressing zoning reform and opportunities to improve land use policies to improve fair housing choice. Some strategies identified in the plan include increasing inclusionary zoning incentives, adopting an affordable housing overlay zone, and something that would be new for the region would be a fair housing equity analysis as part of reviewing significant development or rezoning proposals. This is also an area that Loudoun has chosen to focus in the plan, and we call out strategies around removing barriers in our zoning ordinance as the county is currently undergoing a zoning ordinance rewrite right now. We'd like to strengthen the existing affordable dwelling unit program, which is our inclusionary housing program, and explore other land use and zoning tools to encourage the development of affordable housing, which are described in detail in our Unmet Housing Needs Strategic Plan. The third regional goal is focused on preservation strategies to avoid displacement as cities and counties in the region grow and change over time. One piece of this is around existing affordable housing communities, low-income housing tax credit communities, as one example. As they age, they can leave the affordability period and that affordable housing is then lost in the community. So identifying ways to preserve what we have is critical. And then regional goal number 4 is designed to increase homeownership by members of protected classes and reduce inequities and discriminatory practices that limit homeownership. So strategies described in the plan include set-asides for homeownership, as well as rental units in new developments for low and moderate income households, supporting financial literacy and homebuyer education, and using less traditional homeownership models like a community land trust. Regional Goal 5 is designed to protect the housing rights of members of protected classes under the Federal Fair Housing Act. Strategies in the plan include reducing barriers to accessing rental housing, piloting a right to counsel program for landlord-tenant proceedings, and expanding and increasing support for fair housing outreach, education, and enforcement. This was a recommendation strongly supported by the Community Advisory Committee This came up repeatedly as an important strategy for each participating jurisdiction to consider how to engage in this work more meaningfully in the future. And I'm going to come back to this point, so get excited.
Wait, which one was that? I'm sorry.
Regional Goal 5.
What part of Regional Goal 5?
To protect the housing rights of individuals with protected characteristics, specifically the strategy around expanding and increasing support for fair housing outreach, education, and enforcement. So Regional Goal 6 is focused on the need to reduce barriers for persons with disabilities, which is one of the most common sources of fair housing complaints, not just in this region, but nationwide. Strategies to increase community integration include increasing the amount of permanent supportive housing units, and one way is to prioritize community development block grant and home funds, as Mr. Hall was talking about earlier, and using those funds to create permanent supportive housing, and then ensuring any project-based vouchers include some permanent supportive housing. Additionally, advocating with housing authorities to adopt admissions preferences for individuals with disabilities. So again, these are all regional goals and regional strategies that every jurisdiction will work on differently depending on their priorities and capacity. The last regional goal is to expand access and affordability of public transportation for members of protected classes. So some strategies include free bus transportation for lower income households and making recommendations to improve and expand bus routes, particularly across jurisdictional borders. So this is one of those pieces coming from a regional approach, identifying that these issues are not, cannot be solved by Loudoun alone in some cases. So we need to work together. And then Loudoun does have a more specific focus, as I mentioned, on this goal about fair housing, outreach, education, and enforcement. So we specifically have identified a need to focus on this area. And so we'd like to hire a fair housing coordinator, establish a dedicated phone line and email address for Loudoun County fair housing complaints, and implement a number of strategies from the Unmet Housing Needs Strategic Plan that would increase support for fair housing in the county. And I just wanted to highlight, we're already making progress with Melinda here joining us last week as our fair housing coordinator, which we've never had. So this is a big accomplishment and we're thrilled. So we're already focusing and moving towards implementation. So a couple of points to close the presentation part of the evening. This plan is going to impact Loudoun and it's going to impact the region, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. We do think regional action is critical to addressing our housing supply and affordability challenges, and Loudoun's really glad to be working as part of this regional effort. And then we really want this plan to resonate and be informed by the community. So please send in comments, please share the plan. With that in mind, I'll run through a couple points. The public comment period is open until March 31st, and then those comments will inform final revisions before coming back to all the legislative bodies. So the Board of Supervisors here will review and approve the final regional fair housing plan, and then they will all be combined and submitted to HUD, hopefully by the fall. And then, what did I do? Bear with me for just a second. There we go. Okay. We did provide copies of the presentation, and there are a number of ways to submit written comments on the Regional Fair Housing Plan. There's an online form on COG's website. There is an email option and a mail option for handwritten comments, and supports available for anyone visually impaired. And we also included some additional resources that may be helpful or of interest to this general topic of fair housing. So anything else to share? Hillary and Diane, we so appreciate you both joining us. COG and the LARS committee have been doing so much work on this project, and we're grateful for their leadership.
Thanks, Rebecca. I don't have anything to add. I don't know. Diane, if you wanted to add anything, you can. put other than we thank you. Yes, and I'm so glad you came out today. And most importantly, we would really like to hear your comments. Unlike other, you know, public hearings, we actually will address your comments individually and as part of the plan. As long as you stay on topic, you know, if you need a vet, for example, we can't help you. But if it's about housing and community development related topics, we will address your comments in the plan. So it's really important that your voice is heard, and we really want to hear from you. And thanks so much for being here today.
Okay, I will turn it back over to Mr. Hall.
Thank you. Thank you, Hillary and Diane. Okay, so we are ready for the public comment period. Just a couple of reminders. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes each. And as I move back over here, remember we need you to stand in this area so the microphone and the laptop will pick up what you're saying so that we have everybody on record. So 3 minutes, for those who signed up already, you will be called in just a moment in the order that you signed up. If we have anyone here who has not signed up but would like to make public comments, we will ask for those after the what I'll call the pre-signed public commenters have already spoken. Okay, again, this is a public comment session. This is not a dialogue or a question and answer period. We will take all of your comments. We will gather and bundle them up for our portion of the plan and roll them up to the Washington Council of Government. And as Diane was saying, every comment will be addressed in the plan. And so whatever your take is on it, you will be able to probably see the theme. It might be categorized is categorized in themes. So you may not see your specific question in the plan, but it'll be captioned in the theme of the comments that were generally submitted. Also, if you have more than 3 minutes to say, if I encourage you to put it in writing, you can send it to us. Our e-address is housing@loudoun.gov. And Loudoun, for those of you who are new to Loudoun like myself, I got to remember how to spell it. It has a weird spelling to me, L-O-U-D-O-U-N. So usually I used to say Loudoun, but nope, that won't get your email to us. So Loudoun, LOUDOUN.gov. So housing@loudoun.gov. Okay, I will turn it over to Christine.
I have a question. The comments go to the Board of Supervisors. Who gets the comments after we address? Okay.
No, it'll go to the Washington Council of Governments, and the reason for that is it's a regional plan, so they're gonna collect all of the comments from all the jurisdictions in one streamlined way so that the Lawyers Committee can review all of them and respond, and that way we've reflected them, you know, accurately. That's why there's the portal is one portal. It's not every jurisdiction has its own portal,
okay.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense, yes.
Thank you. But if you would like to submit your comments to us at housing@loudoun.gov, we will ensure that it gets rolled up.
Okay.
Or you can submit your comments directly to WashCon,
yes.
Council
okay.
of Governments. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to start with anyone who contacted us in advance of tonight's meeting, and that first speaker would be Theo Stamatis.
Well, good evening. My name is Theo Stamatis. I'm the Government Relations Manager for the Loudoun Chamber of Commerce. It is definitely a privilege to address everyone here this evening on behalf of more than 1,000 businesses and employers that consist of the Chamber's membership. I'm here this evening to support the county's efforts to develop Loudoun's Regional Fair Housing Plan in coordination with COG. The Chamber supports DHCD's continued efforts in expanding its existing housing initiatives, creating new loan programs to help develop more attainable housing here in Loudoun County. Loudoun is clearly facing a housing shortage and a crisis of affordability. This crisis is devastating to our most vulnerable citizens and is imposing substantial quality of life economic burdens on our small businesses, nonprofits, government partners, and their employees. Loudoun needs housing, particularly great diversity of workforce housing options, particularly for those who earn at or below Loudoun's average median income. These include folks like our teachers, our first responders, our home care workers, our retail hospitality employees, and so forth. The Chamber has long advocated for Loudoun County to have more skin in the game to support its own state housing priorities. We now applaud the county for taking this step, the first in the current fiscal year, and then the proposed in the budget for the next, to dedicate funds equivalent to one half a penny on the tax rate to help tackle Loudoun's persistent crisis of housing affordability. These funds can be used in part to support innovative public-private partnerships to increase the inventory of attainable housing in Loudoun County. This is important because of the scale of this crisis is such that neither the public nor the private sector can address it alone. The Chamber also appreciates the county having dedicated and declared that it believes, as those the Chamber membership does, that those who work in Loudoun County should be able to live in Loudoun County. Still, more work needs to be done to ensure our workforce can also live in our county. Among those are more flexible land use policies and zoning ordinances that remove barriers to our workforce housing priorities. Restrictive land use policies will only make it harder and more expensive and more time-consuming to build new homes. We implore you to listen to the perspective of the business community and the public on how the county can develop a fair housing plan that will create a more equitable, inclusive approach to attainable housing in Loudoun County. Thank you so much for allowing me to say the gospel on behalf of the Chamber. So, thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Our next advanced sign-up speaker is Shauna Pinkston. Whatever you prefer.
You can sit or stand. Whatever either you prefer.
One. Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm going to attempt to just get this down in 3 minutes because I haven't done any public speaking in about 10 years, and I am dealing with some other issues emotionally. So I am a person living in Loudoun County, living with a disability, and I've been in Loudoun County for about a half a decade now, and I wanted to just focus on three key issues for the meeting. Some of them I heard in this slide presentation, but I had prepared my own things that I am actually experiencing right now and in the last 6 months of living in this county. I did a lot of research last couple months, and I do realize it's coordinated by the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, and I've spoken to those folks. I'm also representing ECMV, which is Independence Center for Northern Virginia, and that's an advocacy group that works with individuals or families living with a disability. I'm also working with some other agencies I'd like not to say right now, but I've wanted to focus on three key things, and the one key issue is the barriers to fair housing in this county. I'll just quickly go through some of the things that I felt was important to reduce or eliminate those barriers, and one would be so many things you may have already heard in the slide, but implement fair housing ordinance and human rights ordinance, develop a designated agency, perform fair housing testing quarterly and or yearly, provide more in-depth fair housing training. Initiate a complaint/reporting process for Loudoun County. Understanding, I think this is one of the most important, understanding cultural competence. The second key issue is stakeholders and community involvement. Charting the documented and undocumented issues that are currently or previously have been going on in Loudoun County that have not been addressed. Connecting the dots to understanding how and where change is needed most. Speaking with and receiving feedback and ideas from tenants, residents, whether past, current, or future in Loudoun County. My last key point, and I really thought hard about this because right now my daughter is sitting in the back and she's 10. And I wouldn't want anyone, whether a disability or not a disability, while I do represent the disabled community, you don't have a disability to experience racism or discrimination in any county. And I think it's important that my third key point is radical thought, radical thinkers. And I'll just give you the definition of radical thinkers. Those who try to understand things from their root, seeking to resolve problems based on basic principles and foundations. I'd like to repeat that. Radical thinkers. Those who try to understand things from their root, seeking to resolve problems based on basic principles and foundations. And lastly, I'd like to leave you guys with just two things that I thought about to share was, this issue is systemic from major failings in our society and is in zero ways a reflection of those of us who are going through it. And the last thing I'd like to say, and just leave everybody with this thought when you leave here and go home, housing is such an integral part of community and family well-being for all in Loudoun County and surrounding counties. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe those are the only two advanced sign-ups, so I'll go now in order of anyone who signed up and indicated tonight that they would like to speak, and the next speaker would be Julia Grelli.
Hello. I come up here as an individual who has participated in the HUD program for the last 22 years, and I have seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the happy, the sad of every side, from looking for a place, saving your money, doing your best to find your place, doing your best to fit in with so many different communities of individuals. I don't like to say black, white, red, Indian. I see eyes, you know? And I have done my best to try to bring my little community together and asking for activities and things that support our community, where you get to go see your neighbor and trade a phone call and trade school information and build the community. And I'm disabled, used to work for Xerox, used to work for Lockheed, but unfortunately a car accident did me in. So I'm disabled. Don't have the money anymore. I'm single mom. I've raised them, you know, sent him to the Academy of Loudoun, you know. He's smart and he's supporting your community. And one thing I see so much in this little community of mine is the high turnover of, we can't afford to live here. And have you seen your water bill? Have you seen your electric bill? You know, there's nowhere to park. There's not enough services, the bus. And I just want everybody here to know I love my community, grew up here, graduated from Loudoun Valley High School many years ago. And I want to keep this a hometown attitude. And we need housing in this community badly. And we need our people who come in and come out to say, gee, I had no trouble. I worked in New Orleans for a while and they said, Joel, the worst problem is finding a place to live. The cost of living. So how do I help our HUD community? The first thing is somebody brought it up. We need a hotline. So when we feel like we are getting discriminated against, we can pick up a phone, type it in. However, there is no immediate reply, confirmation. My caseworker at times, I don't hear from for weeks, so I give up on that one. But the most important thing is these people come in with children that they're trying to raise and educate, and that's our future generation. And I just want to take care of my lab in county, and I don't know how to do it. I've taught ESL for years. There's things you can do with a cognitive impairment that people don't always see, you know. Don't drive, and I got a lovely mother back there who's 80 something who takes the hitchhiker, you know, to meetings and to things, going, what can I do to help my community? But this is fair housing, and the most important thing, I'm sorry my mouth's getting dry, is all of us who participate as a HUD or individual do need that support of, here's an example, real quick, less than 30 seconds.
My water bill. To wrap up in 10 seconds.
We're 10 seconds.
Yeah, we are trying to keep to the 3-minute limit.
I'm sorry, but I had a water bill that went up 52%. They checked yesterday and said there's no problem with your water. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean about having a follow-up plan.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to interject for a commercial brief. So with some of the comments, I just want to make sure before you leave tonight, we have some handouts up here. One of them is for the Commonwealth of Virginia's Fair Housing Office that gives you the information, the phone number, the e-address, how to contact them, how to file a complaint or to talk to their case managers. Also, if you or friends or family are in need of housing resources, we also have a few brochures up front for housing services, just in case you need them.
Thank you. That is the last person who said yes that they would like to speak tonight. On according to the sign-in sheet, there is one person who put a question mark and one person who put maybe. So is there anyone else who would like to provide public comment? Okay.
Okay,
you're welcome to.
And I have nothing written. But I do just want to share this quickly. So I am with the Commission on Aging. So senior adults are extremely important to me and what I do. And so it is very important to me that there's affordable housing for seniors, aging adults, to age in place. I find that a lot of them don't want to leave where they are. So it's important to find a way to accommodate that request in some way. I know that you can't knock out everything that we're throwing at you, but it is something that we really should consider. I also wanted to say that if there's anything that can be done in terms of property tax to help these aging adults, that would be an amazing effort. And if there's any way that there's a way to just have someone who can listen. I'm not certain of what the position of the coordinator is. However, because they have a difficulty reaching out and knowing how to, they're not internet people, right? So they need someone to reach out to them. So if there is a resource for that, that would be outstanding. But those are my comments. They're really quick, but just please consider the aging adult population. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So one last call. Anyone else want to provide?
I'll be brave.
Okay.
So many other brave people.
And I'm
only getting brave because it's so important. But I'm Linda Colbert, and I'm a realtor. I'm the chairman of the Government Affairs Committee for the Dulles Association of Realtors. Before that, I was a special ed teacher for many years. And I'm here, I just got up because it is such a universal problem. Everything you said is I agree with. It has to be a public-private partnership. People at the county with the zoning, I mean, I have followed all the rewrite. I don't know that there's anything in there that's going to make it easier for somebody to build affordable, attainable housing. I think that everyone has to think out of the box. There's places the county owns. There's so many opportunities. People in other jurisdictions, I've even been trying to look into other countries that are doing this on a better basis than we are. There are solutions. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but it is a joint problem. It's a problem in Loudoun. This morning, I spent the morning at the an economic summit. I hate to tell you, but it's not going to get better, prices, you know, as far as what we're hearing. So we have to think out of the box and come up with solutions that are not obvious this moment. That's it.
Thank you. Oh, we have another. Please come to the front.
Hello, thank you very much for having me. Just wanted to give a few comments and some comments also relating to one of your speakers, and maybe a couple of them. I've been a resident of Loudoun County for 20 years now. I have had the opportunity, my name is Lee Becky, I'm sorry, by the way, and I have had the opportunity to travel around the world. I've traveled more places probably than most of you have ever traveled and gone to places that are more remote than you could probably ever imagine, and seen people and endured a lot of different cultural differences. And I have found Loudoun County to be one of the most welcoming places I've ever lived. And it kind of disappoints me to hear so much of the idea of discrimination being brought up about Loudoun County, because the minorities in my neighborhood, Black, Asian, are happy. They enjoy living in Loudoun County. They don't have contentious feelings about Loudoun County. They enjoy living there. We get along. I know them. They know me. And we have a very good neighborhood. And so I hope the effort in this, what you're doing here, is not to put a cloud over Loudoun County as if it is somehow a place of discrimination, because it isn't. And in comparison to the many cultures that I've had to live in and encounter, it's a great place to live. And I am, it's just a little bit disappointing to hear this idea of so much discrimination, that somehow Loudoun County is a discriminating place based on culture and race, because the reality is it isn't. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now last call, that's it?
Final call.
Anyone else like to provide public comment? Okay, thank you.
Okay. Before I close out the public hearing, I want to thank each of you for coming out this evening. Each of you who made comments, we appreciate them. We will again bundle them up, roll them up, not only to the Washington Council of Governments, but also to our Fair Housing Plan draft that's part of it. So they'll get them twice if you send it to them and give it to us. And then we will be presenting to the Board of Supervisors. It's that
next week.
Tuesday, mm-hmm. March 14th, the same presentation, a very similar presentation. And again, the analysis of impediments is a plan that we do most jurisdictions. Actually, let me back up how we do this. And Hillary, I'm not sure if Hillary had to go or not. I think she had another meeting. So the county of Loudoun is an entitlement community, meaning we receive federal grants based on the population size of the county. In an effort to, well, in exchange of getting the federal dollars, we have to submit a lot of reports. One of the reports is called a consolidated plan. That basically tells the federal government the dollars that we're receiving, this is how we are planning to use the money over the next 5 years. Every year of those 5 years, we have to come to the public and get public comment to say, how would you like us to spend the money? What are the high priorities? So we do the 5-year scan, and then each year of the 5 years, we do what is called an annual action plan that is supposed to still be talking about the 5-year plan, unless there's been an urgent need, like a pandemic, or you know, something like natural disaster happens, and we can deviate from it a bit. But basically, we come before the public soliciting comments. We roll all those comments up and we submit it to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. That's what this department gets most of its funding from. So part of the requirement is every 5 years as well, when we do this consolidated plan, we are to do what we call an analysis of impediments. What is preventing people from finding housing? Is it the cost of rent? Is it the lack of income? A lot of the things, you know, some of you have said, and then on the PowerPoint, the 7 key areas is basically what the Washington Council of Governments has identified as a common theme for all of the jurisdictions, or 7 jurisdictions, Northern Virginia, Southern Maryland, and the District of Columbia, how we're gonna come together as a region to try to tackle some of these impediments that are preventing residents from getting housing, staying in housing, whatever the barrier is. So then we will then start to prioritize our funding, again, that 5-year plan, how we are going to tackle some of these barriers. So we get, in Loudoun County, this department, we had 2 entitlement grants, Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, you may have heard that abbreviation, and then we will be getting for the very first time, which I'm excited about, a Home Investment Partnership. So that is a participating jurisdiction. Most of that is to build affordable housing. We can build it or preserve affordable housing units, rehab multifamily dwellings, or give down payment closing cost assistance. It's a lot of different activities. So I encourage you to follow what we will be rolling through, because that annual action plan is about to go to the board. And it'll be a public comment period starting in April. So we'll have probably something similar to this setting, or will it be at the board? At the board level, the public, that would be at the board. That'll
be at the board.
So it'll be a bigger public hearing meeting. And then you'll be able to see what we're proposing, how we're gonna spend funds for that for the next year, which will be July 1st through June 30th. And then again, we will, you will have the opportunity to comment on, like, we need more housing or whatever the needs are. Down payment closing cost assistance. I mean, whatever the eligible activities are for those programs, that is where you can continue to find ways to participate in this process. So you can see how we're moving the needle, or at least making some progress year in and year out. Okay?
The second grant that you received, that's the new one?
Home.
What is that exactly?
It's called Home Investment Partnership.
Uh-huh.
It's an entitlement grant from HUD. So it basically is to, the main requirement is that there has to be an output of a housing unit or the preservation of an affordable housing unit. That's the overarching.
And the comments that we made today, do you guys take that with you next week when you meet the board, or if that doesn't get addressed, you don't mention that?
We will put the comments, the board package has already been submitted, but a lot of times the board may ask, did we get any comments? If so, what kind of comments did we get?
Okay.
So all the comments that we receive, we're gonna kind of bundle them in categories, like you know, housing,
mm-hmm.
You know, discrimination, what, I mean, whatever the categories are, we'll say, well, we got comments on these categories. But we'll take all of your comments and roll those up to the Washington Council of Government.
Okay.
So,
and then just to clarify, so next week's meeting is a finance committee meeting. So there isn't a public comment period at the committee meeting itself. But Rebecca, we'll be bringing it back to a full board meeting, full board of supervisor meeting, at which point there will be a comment period.
Okay.
And we will share these comments in our presentation next week in terms of like a summary of what we heard around the need for more housing affordability and public-private partnerships and the discrimination and need for tenants to have more and residents to have more support and resources around for housing. Those are things we'll share next week with the board, at least at the finance committee level. We're giving them what's called an information item. So we're kind of walking through, as John said, this presentation to get them familiar with the plan, and then they'll have the opportunity to ask questions or raise things they want us to kind of incorporate or think about as we move towards implementation. So
because I didn't have anything written, would it make sense to then submit something, pretty much what I said, so that you do have it?
Yes, I would recommend submitting something written, because the more comments are never a bad thing. Okay. We're going to submit what we heard and everything to COG, as Mr. Hall said, but more comments are always a good thing.
And public comment period is open through March 31st. So again, you can submit those to housing@loudoun.gov any time between now and then.
And I would just comment, if anyone wants to watch that board process, loudoun.gov/BOS is where all of the board information is posted and where you can find links to watch the board meetings if you want to.
Ma'am, did you have a question?
I was just going to ask about documenting your comments in writing and where I could do that.
Yeah, if you want to write it out, you can drop it in our office, mm-hmm. and we'll scan it and upload it.
And your office is where?
Right here.
Oh, okay, yep. Great, okay.
And
on this entire first floor.
We'll grab you the copy of the PowerPoint, which also has that information too.
I would speak, but I'm having asthma, so I just have to listen right now.
Of course.
No problem. Okay, well then I am going to officially close the public comment period or public hearing at 7:04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you again for coming out this evening. Be safe, getting home. We'll see you the next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.